Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Mom Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to be with you today. This is Mary Donnellan in for Maria Bailey, and it is middle of January already, and even though it feels like it's back into the routine, I just feel like I can't believe we're already looking at the end of January, because it'll be here before we know it. So I hope you are enjoying the month, regardless of the weather. In Florida, we've had a little bit of a cold snap. It is actually 60 degrees today. So it is really a change for us, because we've been struggling with a pretty mild, not even mild, but hot winter, when we usually stay in the 70s, which is why the traffic is unbelievable in Fort Lauderdale Beach, and I have to drive there to get to work, and it's just not very fun these days. But we like the tourists. They spend money. It's all good. So I hope the weather is okay where you are. Again, we're enjoying the 60s. It's just a very mild winter, and we're just really looking forward to a little bit more cool weather. So in Florida, we're also in the midst of Powerball fever. But the time this show airs, because it is taped, we'll know whether or not we're coming to work on Monday. As an office pool, I threw it out there last week, and I said, let's all go in and pitch in $10, and we can all get, more bang for our buck, and we'll all get a big, $80 worth of Powerball tickets. There's eight of us in this office. So we did that, and of course it rolled over, and then we're doing it again, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully there is power in numbers, and we'll get, I said, even if we just split, it's going to split three or four ways, you're still going to have a nice little chunk of change to at least retire on. But I have to put three kids through college still, So before we go on to our show, we have a great show lined up. I wanted to mention very quickly that it is a pleasure to talk about Pre-Mama. Pre-Mama is a prenatal vitamin alternative to those big, horrible, hard-to-swallow horse pills that you might have to take. And if you're taking a prenatal vitamin or need to take one, which we all of women should take a prenatal if you're younger or childbearing age. And when you're not childbearing age, take a vitamin anyway. But Pre-Mama is the prenatal vitamin you drink. You simply add one sleeve of powder to your favorite cold drink, smoothie, even a yogurt. And one packet of Pre-Mama drink mix contains doctor-recommended vitamins and nutrients that are so important for a healthy baby and a happy mama. So go to drinkpremama.com. Check out all the information about the formulas. And there actually are two new formulas that cover the gamut from trying to conceive to breastfeeding. And those formulas are called fertility and lactation. And those are pretty obvious terms. So the product line provides complete maternity wellness. And it is available in stores and online at CVS, Target, Amazon, my favorite, and specialty stores near you. So check out Pre-Mama. Go to drinkpremama.com. They have a store locator on that website, and they're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So look for Drink Pre-Mama. So when we start the show off, we're going to be welcoming Beth Thomas-Cohen. She's going to tell you how to drop the act. It's exhausting. She's the author of a book by that title. We'll be talking to Tony Bethel. He is a U.S. Navy veteran and author of a book of poetry he co-wrote with his son. And then we'll be switching to a more serious topic, which is eating disorders. Dr. Bermudez will be here, and he will talk about eating disorders and what you should know about the signs and symptoms, and then resources for parents if you suspect eating disorder or know you have a child who's suffering from an eating disorder. And then we'll close the show with Sammy Cohn, who is the author of Raising Uncommon Kids. So we've got a great show lined up. We're going to talk about some books. We're going to talk up to a doctor. And as usual, it's par for the course, a great show on Mom Talk Radio. So when we come back, Beth Thomas-Cohen is going to tell you how to drop the act.
Little secret, Mom Talk Radio.
Our first guest on this fabulous show is Beth Thomas-Cohen. She has been in the fashion industry for 16 years, has been in PR, and has even worked in the fashion department at the Oprah Magazine. And she's going to be talking about her first book. I'll let her tell you all about it. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Beth.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So I love the title. It's just so compelling just to say drop the act. It's exhausting. So
yes,
tell us about
well.
The title, the inspiration, a little bit about the book.
I think for the title, my writer and I threw around a couple of things and landed on something that was kind of working, but I just never felt like it would grab everybody's attention, and I needed something that people could say correctly. And it's interesting because everyone's like, drop the act. It's exhausting, which is exactly how I feel every day. So as soon as we landed on that, I was like, it totally resonated with me, and that was for sure a keeper.
Okay, so what do you mean by drop the act? It's exhausting. You have you're a working mother. I'm sure very, very busy, as we all are. So tell us what you mean by that.
I think that my thing is to kind of embrace all your imperfections and feel okay with airing out your improper thoughts about things, whether it's relationships or sex or love, parenting, my favorite, self-esteem and judgment. And not always saying sorry for feeling the way that you feel, and then being more accepting when people do the same thing back to you, and then there's a lot less judgment, and you have your relationships are a lot kind of more thought out and genuine and authentic.
Right, right. And interestingly, there was a segment on a news show this morning. It was more of a lifestyle segment about actually young girls who are doing something called camouflaging. So what you're saying is exactly what they were recommending. Like, even at a young age, we should all just start being more true to ourselves and not try to put up a front to, to please people.
I was blessed with two girls, which is wonderful, but also extremely challenging. One is 9 and one is 5. And I kind of, my mantra in the house is kind of just be who you are. And if somebody can't accept that or doesn't like that, you got to move on. And eventually you'll find the right fit in people and relationships and all those kinds of things. But you need not conform to the norm.
Right. So have you encountered any resistance with that attitude at work?
I think that, for me, I think it's, it comes from a place of yes and not from a place of no, which I think is really important and very much resonated in the book. So I'm not coming from a place where everybody needs to scream off the rooftops and be rude to people. I think, there is a delivery and you have to have couth about it. But I do find that in doing that, some people aren't ready for that type of honesty. And that's, that's been a little bit of a struggle in my life. I think by now I'm 40 and I know how to deliver it a little bit better than I did when I was, 10.
I got you. Right, right. Even 30, really, because you learn a lot.
Right.
When you become a parent, too, you really learn how to because your kids are also mirroring what you're doing.
You do. Yeah, yeah, it was tough. I think in fashion, in the industry and media that I worked in, the best, most amazing woman in the world, and I think that she's very much that person, be who you are. I wasn't working in magazines where I didn't share that same value system. But, I think that, in-laws and friends of friends and things like that, sometimes it can be a little, challenging when you're the type of person that I am.
Right. So when you have quite an extensive background in the fashion industry and PR, so, and book writing. So So, and it just got, your book was just published in November. So just a couple short months ago. Tell us a little, is it a how-to book? Is it more anecdotal in your stories? Tell us a little about what's
really
it is. A teaser.
I got a really nice, hey, I'm a bestseller on Amazon. And
oh, great.
Which is so great, and it's in multi-categories because...
Congratulations.
I had a really difficult time with the publishing company, wanted to tag me in that self-help, which I, for some reason, I just loathe that category.
It does have a kind of stigma to it now, these days.
Oh, my God,
it's so,
I really hate it, because I'm really not telling any... I don't take a particular position in the book. I basically open up a can of worms and say, discuss this amongst yourselves. This is what it is. So it falls in many different categories. I'd like to take it off the self-help, kind of falls in that, I guess they would categorize it in motivation, psychology. But for me, it falls much more in humor because I kind of have like a quirky sense of humor. So it's definitely anecdotal in the sense that it has to talk about my life. I come from a mixed race background, and I married somebody of a different faith. So I come from all different kind of corners of the earth. So yes, it definitely talks about my life, but I try to connect it to pretty much anyone. I have a bunch of girlfriends and guy friends that I've been friends with, you know, for over 30 years, and it's not too feminist, so I have a lot of guys that read it, and women. I really, it's kind of for anybody.
Great. That sounds great. I'm actually just to get, your website is BethThomasCohen.com.
Yes.
And I'm looking through it. Very cool. Very cool stuff.
I'm not even, I'm like, my agent would hate me to say this, but I'm like, not 100% done with the site. But
oh, okay.
Really
looks good to me.
So I've been focusing on the book. It's terrible, but it's a starting point. I'm a huge Instagrammer.
Wow.
I'm the last person on earth.
Yeah, what's your Instagram ID then?
Beth Thomas Cohen.
Okay. Very good. All right, so listeners, follow Beth Thomas Cohen, because even your pictures on your website, I'm sure your Instagram account is very cool. So where can our listeners find the book then? You mentioned Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Walmart, Target, and then any probably specialty store, bookstore in your neighborhood.
Right. So now you wrote the book. It's obviously you're probably still in the publicity tour phase.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else coming up in the author category? Or are you back to
writing another one?
Writing another one? Or are you doing PR for fashion lines? Or what's your next step?
So in a really awesome way, the book kind of took over my life, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So my business partner and I closed our PR firm that we owned for almost 7 years, and I've really kind of only been solely focusing on the book. It's taken up way more time than we had anticipated, so it's a very lovely thing. And I plan to write more, which is awesome because I never woke up and thought, you know, I'm going to write a book, but I'm really happy with how well it's been received. And I really believe in the message because I want everyone to know that they can be who they are and it's totally okay. So that's
right.
My plan is to write more.
Fabulous. You're such a good role model too for your daughters and actually for all girls and women out there. So congratulations. We'll look for your next book and or appearance somewhere. So hopefully we'll see you soon. And again, your website is BethThomasCohen.com. Listeners can check it out and check out the book again. It's called Drop the Act. It's Exhausting by Beth Thomas Cohen. And when we come back, we'll shine the spotlight on mom. Stay with us. This is my favorite part of Mom Talk Radio. We shine the spotlight on moms, just like me and you, everyday moms who are parenting their children, since many have businesses. So I'm pleased to introduce Jessica Martin Weber, who is the mom of 4 children, and she blogs at, you ready for this? TheLeakyBoob.com, and she's on Twitter at TheLeakyBoob. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Jessica.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And actually, I have 6 kids.
It says 4 here.
My goodness, no.
They won't know. No, it only says children. You didn't leave any. It did. No, they won't know which one that you left out. The 2, rather.
They won't have a clue.
Yeah. So, okay. So 6 children. Sorry about that. So, so that's even. You know, wow. You're even more of a veteran in the parenting world. So, tell us really quickly. You want to talk about the global community and your virtual town center and all about social media. Tell us a little bit about that. What you mean by that?
5 years ago, almost exactly, actually, I had a baby who was born with a congenital heart defect, and she was a super, super sick little girl. And the first 12 weeks of her life were rather time-consuming and trying to just help her grow. And we were preparing for surgery. And we ended up going in for her pre-op. And lo and behold, everything was looking really good. And they said we could delay her surgery. And I came home and I was pumping all the time trying to increase her calorie intake.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I did was log into Facebook and tell my friends, my community, and the moms that in different Facebook groups and different places that were supporting me all cheered. And, you know, it was just this place of connecting. And I realized that that had become my community. And they were all over the world, from Australia to the UK to the United States. And these were my people. And I didn't even realize it had happened that way, but that's in that time, especially in that difficult time of my life, mothering my children, I found my community online.
Yeah, and it began organically, which is so much more authentic. And I think it's such a statement as to the good parts of social media, because we all hear about the bad, but there is good, mm-hmm. like this,
oh,
right?
There's so much good. Yes,
right.
So much good. so much that just kind of naturally unfolds in it. And it starts with our own friends, but it expands when parents find themselves in groups often targeted to a specific life phase. For me, it was actually right. pregnancy groups. And then it grew from there. And then I ended up starting my own, which also grew from there. And we've discovered by being able to find this place where you can talk about that specific life phase, we end up naturally morphing into other conversations. And mm-hmm. they become our people. And we find place there and we find support and encouragement and exchange of information and ideas.
It's, right.
Facebook and social media has become the virtual town hall.
And interestingly enough, Marie is in the midst of writing another book, and it's focused really on millennial moms and how much it has really become, like, there's a stat, and I'm not going to give away a lot about the book. I'm obviously Maria would, I'd lose my job, but it's a stat in there. Moms go to social media a lot of times before they'll go to their pediatrician. There's yes. forums and there's Facebook and, you know, and what is this rash? And you take a quick picture and shoot it out on, right. Instagram or Vine or, you know, so it's really fascinating. So your Facebook group has a fan page though. Right? For your brand?
Yeah. The way it started was actually that day that I came home. In one of my groups, somebody had posted a story about a woman getting kicked out of, I think it was Chili's, for breastfeeding her baby.
Oh,
and,
uh-huh.
And you know, everybody was outraged. And it was the first time I saw social media have that kind of influence where they could say, hey, we're going to take a stand from all around the world behind this one person. And while right. she may be in that location, we're all supporting her there.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I had seen that. And I couldn't physically go support her. And I wrote a blog post on my little tiny blog that I thought just my mom read. And only when I told her there were pictures of the kids posted.
No, that's not how it went, was it? It went crazy,
no.
right? Yeah, that happens when I think when you least expected it, right? And sure enough, that and honestly, I saw enough of those breastfeeding in public stories, and that's the one way to get the mom ground, the groundswell of support from moms is to start talking about that.
We connect and yep. protect each other with that, and it's really
right.
a beautiful thing to see. So yes, the Leaky Boob has its own Facebook page and a private closed community group. The Facebook
okay.
page is closing in on 200,000. It's
wow.
been 5 years now. Very active. Lots of stories. We really focus on the narrative, the peer-to-peer mom-to-mom connection
right.
and support right. and share information. And
that's what we all want. Moms just want to be able to you know, even if it's something serious or funny or lighthearted. So, and yours started as a serious issue. So thank you so much for joining us, Jessica. And again, theleakyboob.com on Twitter at @theleakyboob. And of course, your fan page, which is...
the same. Actually, to find it, though, you have to use the @symbols and the word boob because Facebook was afraid of the word boob back then, and I wasn't allowed to use it.
Oh, Lord. All right, great. So you have to use the @ sign. So thank you so much, Jessica, for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. And when we come back, we're joined by Dr. Tony Bethel. We'll talk about his new book.
You succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
Welcome back to Mom Talk Radio. This is Marian for Maria. I'm pleased to introduce our next guest, Dr. Tony Bethel. He is a U.S. Navy veteran, a massage therapist, a doctor of naturopathic medicine. I hope I said that right. And has just authored a book with his son titled Father and Son, A Connection Through Poetry. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I am fine.
Great. So tell us a little bit about, you have a very interesting background. Did I say that right? Naturopathic medicine?
Naturopathic.
Okay. What is that?
Naturopathic, yes. I'm sorry.
What is that?
Oh, it is a doctor that deals with connective tissue disorders. We also do manipulative therapy, similar to a chiropractor, but we deal with the connective tissues, muscles, tendons, and ligaments. And we also use nutrition, have 3 semesters of nutrition. And so we use nutrition as well as therapeutic modalities such as eSTEM, ultrasound and other laser as well.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting. So in addition to that, you are an author. You have written 3 books of poetry and one with your son, Brian, titled Father and Son, A Connection Through Poetry. Tell us a little bit about what prompted you to write that book.
What prompted me to write the book was to be closer to my son. Every father and son has a certain connection, and they want to pass things down to their son, and they want to know that their son has progressed and that they've taken certain characteristics and that that they will do great in the next generation as adults. And poetry was something that my son and I, and writing in general, something that my son and I had in common. And just to be able to come together and to write this book of a great deal of poetry between us, covering various events, different views on different subjects, it was just fantastic.
Right. So as a you had a full career with the Navy, and then you have a very interesting, again, varied and impressive background, and then an author. So has this been always like that, or has it just been a progression through your life that you're now a poetry writer?
Well, I've been writing poetry actually since I was 10 years old. Ironically, mm-hmm. I also have a daughter that writes, but she's more more secretive about her work. But
she doesn't share it, huh?
I'm sorry?
She doesn't share her poetry with you.
She doesn't share hers, although I think she's the better writer.
But oh, interesting.
Starting at 10, I started writing poetry. And mom just actually, she loved it. And as you know, any encouragement from mom to a little boy just builds and builds. And
always.
So after her complimenting me on my poetry, I decided I would write more. And I was lucky enough that when I was at the University of Illinois in the dorms, it was just a small contest, but my friends encouraged me to enter it, and I did, and I actually won. You know, it wasn't a big contest, but I won. So this further encouraged me, and then also having the dates and whom I've known in the past, writing for them, and they also encouraged me with my writing as well. And so it was a snowball effect of writing poetry. Then I spun off within the last few years and decided to write my first book, and it's something called Between Black and White, From Evanston to Inglewood to Everywhere, which is out right now. And
wow.
It chronicles, it's a memoir of my life. Mm-hmm. And so, and also part of my family history as well. And ironically, this year is the 40th year of the anniversary of Woods, and I have a distant cousin by the name of Alex Haley who wrote that book many years ago.
Yeah, I think we've heard of him.
And a myth. Right, and a yeah. miniseries was made from that book. And so it chronicles a memoir coming from my great-great-great-grandmother, Niger from Africa, and all the way up into my daughter and son-in-law and my new grandson, Landon. And it was just so fantastic to write the book and to talk about this great family reunion in 2013.
So tell us, our listeners, so the book is called Father and Son, A Connection Through Poetry. And then you said you also had a memoir out. Where can our listeners find these books?
They can find them at my website, whynotbethel.com. That's my first name, turned around. Whynotbethel.com and also Amazon.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So it's a Y, not the Y, the W-H-Y. It's Y. Y-N-O-T, Bethel. Got it.
That's correct.
Okay. Great. So whynotbethel.com. Any other retailers?
I think I mentioned Amazon.com.
Okay.
BarnesandNobles.com and also exlibris.com. That's my publisher.
Your publisher. Yeah, I'm familiar with that publisher. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Bethel, and best of luck and continued success. And with this, especially as you continue to connect with family. And when we come back, we are joined by Dr. Ovidio Bermudez, who's going to be talking about eating disorders and what we parents can do to look for signs and symptoms and solutions. We'll be right back.
Number one podcast. podcast for busy moms. Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Mom Talk Radio, and we're going to turn the tables and get a little more serious on this segment. We're going to be talking about eating disorders. And did you know in the United States, as many as 10 million women and 1 million men suffer from an eating disorder, and the statistics on children and adolescents is even more alarming. In less than a decade, the number of children under the age of 12 admitted to the hospital for an eating disorder rose more than 119%. So here to talk with us about children and eating disorders is Dr. Ovidio Bermudez. He's the Chief Clinical Officer and Medical Director of Child and Adolescent Services at the Eating Recovery Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bermudez.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thank you. So it's an important topic, and those numbers are alarming. I mean, I can't even believe that 119%. So why are so many children today struggling with eating disorders?
Well, the reality is that, contrary to what people believe, eating disorders are not a disorder of choice. They're not a fad. They're not a phase. They actually are a mental illness where there is a genetic predisposition that can be triggered by a number of life-changing events. Stress in children's lives, sort of balancing homework, academic expectations with extracurricular activities and dealing with, sort of social pressures, peer pressures, sometimes frank bullying, bring a lot of stress to children's lives. And then these life-changing events or pressures or stressors can really trigger sort of the underlying genetic predisposition. And that's why all children who are, face such stress don't develop eating-related pathology. Some children develop other anxiety disorders or depression types of issues or, other forms of acting out or other challenges. For those genetically predisposed, then chances are that they're going to manifest these stressors, these pressures via eating-related pathology.
Right. So, are you saying too, because you say there's a predisposition, let's say, because I remember when I was in college, I know one particular woman on our floor, a young woman, a colleague, was struggling with an eating disorder. So if you're, let's say I had an eating disorder, would my daughter be more predisposed?
Yes, eating disorders run in families. However, there is no gene for anorexia or gene for bulimia. So it's not like because, you as a mom have anorexia or bulimia, you're going to, certainly pass it on to your kids. What we seem to pass on is the personality characteristics like the perfectionism, the drivenness, the sensitivity to social pressures or to feel injured. Those are the things that seem to really run in families. Is the risk to predisposition that we pass on, not the eating disorder in and of itself.
Okay, got it. So what are the warning signs parents should look out for when it comes to an eating disorder, and what age range are we looking at? Because I feel like everything is going, it's just happening younger and younger with our kids thanks to, the media, social media, et cetera. So what are we looking for and at what ages?
Absolutely. There's a study recently that said that, in that particular sample, 42% of first to third graders already were expressing some concerns about their weight. So this is early. And what parents should be looking for is change in their kids. Kids are, as we grow up, we're supposed to change. But the reality is that change should be sort of developmentally appropriate, commensurate with the passage of time, the age, the gender, the social context, etc. So when we see dramatic weight loss in children, especially coupled with a preoccupation with weight, when we see them sort of begin to talk negatively about themselves, especially, negatively about their appearance or feeling like they're fat or overweight or undesirable, that becomes a concern. And of course, if you begin to see, food rituals, excuses to avoid certain foods, becoming, these kids sort of all of a sudden becoming vegan or vegetarian, an excessive obsessive focus on exercise or health. I mean, these are things that should, sort of raise the red flag.
Right, right. So what do we do as parents when we have a concern or just want to even find out information to make sure we're ahead of it?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'll tell you that the most important thing is that if you're concerned, get help, because chances are that you're right as a parent. If you're saying, boy, something has changed here and I'm concerned about my kid, get help. Get them assessed. So whether it's through your pediatrician, a registered dietitian that knows about this, whether this is, you know, more the psychological route, and this is a therapist that may kind of assess their emotional well-being and functioning, you know, get help. And at the end of the day, I think it's important for parents not to make diagnoses or not to talk to their kids about, you know, what they are, but who they are, and be able to express their concerns. So rather than talking about food, weight, diets, or body image, you know, express concern about what they see. You know, I see that you don't enjoy food, you know, like you used to. I see that, you know, your health may be a concern because, you know, I see you getting smaller and, you know, your clothes doesn't fit the way it used to. Those kinds of approaches are better than to say, boy, I think you have anorexia. Always focus on their strengths. You know, talk about the things that they are doing right. You know, so if they're over-engaged with their academics, if they're too zealous, too driven, you know, it's important to say it's great that you care and, you know, look at your excellent grades. And, you know, I'm concerned that, you know, you may put too much emphasis on this and, you know, may miss out on other aspects of life that mm-hmm. are important, too. And avoid becoming, you know, sort of the outright food police and making it about policing them and forcing them. So those are sort of broad brushstrokes as to, gee, what can parents do?
Right. Is there a website where we can get it for more information, or is it more of just a, you know, researching something in our local or regional area?
Well, you know, I would tell you that I think parents have to, you know, just like we have a responsibility as parents to help our kids become discerning consumers, we need to be discerning consumers when it comes to this. Because as opposed to cancer treatment, right, where you can say, okay, you know, where do I get the best cancer treatment for my child? And most of the time, you're going to get pretty straightforward information. You know, everybody has a weight. Everybody has a body image. Everybody has some concerns about their own appearance and you know, a shoulds and should not about what they should eat and how they should exercise and how we should live. So we got to be careful. There's a lot of, you know, not accurate information out there. So it's really important for parents to be discerning, to find important information. You know, Eating Recovery Center's, you know, website, you know, is I think a good source of information. So, you know, eatingrecoverycenter.com. You know, we have a family program that really speaks to, you know, the need to educate families and to really bring them into the fold as agents of change and key people to help their children. So the treatment in children, I think, first and foremost, needs to be a family-centered approach. And it's important for parents to discern. You know, an eating disorder, especially in a youngster, is not one where you can sort of ship them off and have somebody fix them and they come back fixed. I think it's something that the family needs to, you know, wrap their arms around and learn to work with and learn to address so that, you know, the health can be regained, but even more importantly, a bright future of sustained recovery can also be attained.
Right, because you have to live with it. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Bermudez. And again, that's eatingrecoverycenter.com, and we'll have that link on Mom Talk Radio next week. And when we come back, we'll wrap the show with Sammy Cohn. She's going to be talking to us about her new book. Stay with us. This is Marion for Maria on this fabulous episode of Mom Talk Radio, and I'm pleased to welcome Sammy Cohn. She is the author of a book, which I love the title, called Raising Uncommon Kids, and it's actually coming out this week. So congratulations, Sammy, and welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much, Mary. I'm thrilled to be here and talk to you guys about it.
Yeah, so you're a blogger, you have a radio show, you've done TV, you're a TV correspondent, you do all kinds of stuff, and you're known as a frugal mom on Nashville's Talk of the Town show, so you've got a lot on your plate. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, you know, it's not something that people expected from, like you said, someone that talks about money a lot. And ironically, I found that with my kids, it started a few years ago. My oldest was 7 at the time, and just had this incredibly, if I can say, selfish moment with her, where it was one of those kind of like you want to shake your kids kind of moment, and you walk away so you don't.
Right.
And I thought, man, she's being so selfish. And then just it hit me all of a sudden like bricks. she's getting it from me. Like, this isn't her fault. She's a child. She's seeing this somewhere, and it has to stop. You know, it starts and stops with me. And because we talked about money so much and saving money and, you know, having enough money, do we, don't we, she was developing this attitude of we've got to kind of keep everything that we have. And so that's when it really dawned on me that, you know what, if we want kids that are going to be compassionate, that are going to go against the grain of what they're seeing in society, it has to start with us as parents. And so that's why, you know, I talk about these 12 characteristics, and compassion's actually the last one that I talk about. I started a different spot, but it's a journey. It's an absolute journey that we have to take first with ourselves, and then in hopes that our kids will model that behavior.
So you say there's 12 tips or strategies in the book, Raising Uncommon Kids, correct?
Yep.
And why is that? Is that setting, because there's plenty of parenting books out there, so why would I pick up yours, and why is it unique versus other books of the same?
Great question. Well, first of all, I'd like to say it's not so much of a parenting book, because it is very us-focused, as opposed to some parenting books I've read that are very much do this with your kids, do that with your kids. It's right. All focused on the kids. This is a mirror. This is really a look. Before you focus on your child's behavior, you have to focus on your own as an individual, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, a caregiver, and then look at your family culture. So number one, that's where I feel like it really stands out. Number two, nothing drives me more nuts than when I read a book, and I read a lot of nonfiction especially, where you read this and you agree with everything and you get done and say, wow, that's great, but how do I do it?
Right.
So at the end
exactly.
of every single chapter, I have what I call a make it practical section. And there are tips, not for, you know, fixing your kids, but to put these specific character traits into practice. And I hope that it's not so much of a how-to as much as it's a challenge for you to think about, why are you doing what you're doing in your family? And the reason there's 12 is that, you know, if you feel like it, you can pick up and read the book all at once. That's great. I wrote it in a hopefully very easy to read manner that makes it possible to do so. But really, it's because it is an ongoing process, I hope that whoever picks up this book will say, you know what, let's focus on one characteristic a month. And, you know, it takes a while to develop a habit and to change the,
yes.
the tone in your home and in your life. So with the 12 characteristics, I really hope that people will start and look at one a month, and it starts with looking at your attitude within your own home, your heart at home, and then looking just outside your door, your attitude towards others and your community and your neighborhood and your schools and your church, and then going out and looking at how can we really make an influence in the world. But it has to start at home first.
Absolutely. That's great. What a very unique, it is unique in that concept that it, and you're right,
Absolutely.
As a family and as a whole. Okay. Very interesting. So would you say that it is, you know, mom should read it first and then pass it to dad, or is this all, you know, how do you basically, come together as a unit with your significant other or your spouse?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think, A, do whatever works for you.
Right.
I mean, in our culture, that's kind of where we got where we are, is because, you know, we're always waiting for the right time or waiting for something to happen to us instead of setting that goal. So I would say do whatever you can. But, you know, when people ask me, what's the one thing, if you could only give us one takeaway for the book, what is it? And for me, it's really communication.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. And your website is sammycone.com. That's S-A-M-I, Cone, C-O-N-E.com. And congratulations, your book is launching this week. We wish you the best of luck. I'm sure we'll see it on the bestseller list. And again, it's the Raising Uncommon Kids by Sammy Cone. And where can our listeners find it?
They can go to raisinguncommonkids.com, or if they wanted mm-hmm. to go right to my website, sammycone.com/uncommonkids, or use the hashtag uncommonkids. It's available for pre-order anywhere you'd find books. And like I said, if they do pre-order, they can come visit us on the website at raisinguncommonkids.com to get those free printables.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sammy. And again, best of luck and congratulations. And thank you all so much for listening to this edition of Mom Talk Radio. We will be back next week with another fantastic show. This show and past shows will be available at momtalkradio.com. And have a wonderful week.